Welcome to Eagle Media. Be blessed as you enjoy the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit through God's servant, Reverend Olusola Ayodele Aregun, the General Overseer of the Dream Center of the Life Voices International Churches. He is committed to helping men realize their God-given dreams in life. Be blessed as he explains to you the truth of God's Word. Stay tuned and God bless.
Said that series is going to be a pivotal truth for us and for his people. And we have built this message on this foundation, that the quality of your life will be a reflection of the ability and the nature of your God. And God is working through this revelation of himself to debunk certain lies that have been told about himself by unsent preachers who have just propounded their own opinion about who this God is, what he's like, and all that. And some Christians have an incomplete view of God. Some see God as a sugar daddy kind of person. Some see God as a God of all judgment, carrying a stick to beat and flog and all that. And whatever perception of God you have is going to affect your performance as a human being on the earth. It's going to affect your faith, your expectation, what you can dare to expect God to do. A woman was in the hospital and they said she has just 20% chance to live. And she said, that is too much for God. Now she had a perception of God that 20% chance is too much for this God. But that understanding came before the challenge came. And that's why the Bible said, they that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. Our strength is not to come from ourselves. Our strength does not necessarily come from God, as it were. It comes from our revelation and perception of God. And as we go into this subject, I pray that God is going to take you into the experience of the truth. And I am on the point currently that Jehovah is the tester, the divine tester. And this morning the Lord gave me a message that I'm titling, Passing the Test of God, When What is Costly is Not Precious. Passing the Test of God, When What is Costly is Not Precious. The devil has succeeded in getting a lot of God's people simply because they did not distinguish the difference between something that is expensive but not precious. And I want us to look at this very well. I see divine promotion ahead of God's people. I see divine promotion in front of people. But you see, I've also been privilege, like a teacher in an exam room, that you know that the student is going through a test, but you can't talk to him. I don't know if all the teachers and lecturers here understand that. There are some exams that you are there, you taught the student, but you can't talk. You're wishing that your student will do well. Praise God. And I've been there when I've seen people being tested of God. God doesn't test us to fail us. He tests us.
Said that series is going to be a pivotal truth for us and for his people. And we have built this message on this foundation, that the quality of your life will be a reflection of the ability and the nature of your God. And God is working through this revelation of himself to debunk certain lies that have been told about himself by unsent preachers who have just propounded their own opinion about who this God is, what he's like, and all that. And some Christians have an incomplete view of God. Some see God as a sugar daddy kind of person. Some see God as a God of all judgment, carrying a stick to beat and flog and all that. And whatever perception of God you have is going to affect your performance as a human being on the earth. It's going to affect your faith, your expectation, what you can dare to expect God to do. A woman was in the hospital and they said she has just 20% chance to live. And she said, that is too much for God. Now she had a perception of God that 20% chance is too much for this God. But that understanding came before the challenge came. And that's why the Bible said, they that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. Our strength is not to come from ourselves. Our strength does not necessarily come from God, as it were. It comes from our revelation and perception of God. And as we go into this subject, I pray that God is going to take you into the experience of the truth. And I am on the point currently that Jehovah is the tester, the divine tester. And this morning the Lord gave me a message that I'm titling, Passing the Test of God. When what is costly is not precious. Passing the test of God. When what is costly is not precious. The devil has succeeded in getting a lot of God's people simply because they did not distinguish the difference between something that is expensive but not precious. And I want us to look at this very well. I see divine promotion ahead of God's people. I see divine promotion in front of people. But you see, I've also been privileged, like a teacher in an exam room, that you know that the student is going through a test, but you can't talk to him. I don't know if all the teachers and lecturers here understand that. There are some exams that you are there, you taught the student, but you can't talk. You're wishing that your student will do well. Praise God. And I've been there when I've seen people being tested of God. God doesn't test us to fail us. He tests us to prove us and qualify us for the next level. But the truth is, Jehovah, as good as he is, he never takes anybody into their next level unless they pass the test of God. And one of the biggest problems that we have in our lives today is that we qualify ourselves for the test of God in our life and we're experiencing the glory of God, we always tend to take people emotionally into a level with us that they have not qualified themselves for. And when you do that, you are simply looking for trouble and looking for problem. When God called Abraham, he didn't call Lot. But emotionally, Abraham carried Lot along, and Lot became a problem for him in the future. And similarly, many people have faced that kind of a situation. So I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 4, the temptations that the Lord Jesus faced. If Jesus failed in this place, then the whole future of the human race is cancelled. But he passed the test, and you will pass your own test. Yes. In the name of Jesus. And I'm praying for you, the key to passing that test, whether it's coming from God or God is allowing the devil to present it to you, is to know that difference. And I'm going to show you about 10 points today that will help you to discern and define that difference. Are you following what I'm saying? Where we are today in ministry, we may not have been there if I took some offers in the past. Are you following what I'm saying? Some of you have heard me share that testimony before, but in the context of the message, let me repeat it. One particular year, we were still at leisure at that time. We had just started our ministry not too long, and we are in the period of struggles and challenges, battles everywhere. And I want you to please take note. When you are facing battles that is not due to any mistake or sin on your part, cool down. You are only going through a test for divine promotion. Alright? But in the midst of that, God will allow certain things to face you. He is in charge. He has not abandoned you. But you must be aware. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, it was a week to my birthday, and I prayed and I asked the Lord, this year give me a good birthday gift.
And that day I got to the office, and an old classmate from HSC showed up and said, "You know, I've been thinking about you, and name three things that are pressing need in your life." He said, "You know, I was thinking about you, you're a minister, you have a wife, we just had our first child that time. We didn't have a car, we didn't have anything. We did not have a telephone in the office." So he said, "Name three things and I'll do them for you." And particularly he said, "Will a car be a need? How do you go from place to place? Sometimes in those days, I preach in three cities in a single day. Going from public transport to public transport and then get back home in the night." And so it was a temptation. I said, "Will a telephone be a need?" It was. But I had a policy that God taught me. Don't discuss your personal needs with people. So I said, "Well, it's not my policy to discuss my personal needs. Let me take you out for lunch." And my mind went blank. Every scripture I knew, it was just shut down. And it was a major test that God was giving me. And like everybody knows, there are some tests that are not promotional tests. But there are some tests that are promotional tests. And what I'm preaching on today are the factors that will determine whether you pass the divine promotional test in life. The Bible says promotion does not come from east or west or south. God is the judge. He puts one down and raises up another. If men promote a man, they can pull him down. But if it is God that promoted you, there is simply no man born of a woman that can pull you down. And I want to challenge you to look for, wait for, expect, and go for divine promotion. Lots of Christians have done well up to the promotional exam and then failed. It looks to me that at such times in your life, the Holy Spirit will behave as if he has left you. To see what's going to happen. You remember in the Bible said there was a king, Ezekiel, so very wonderful king. And the Bible said concerning the matter of the messengers of the Babylonian king, God left him. Now God didn't abandon him, because sometimes we assume that people that left God have failed. A man has not failed until God leaves him. But God left him to watch, and he has succeeded up till that time. And when it was a promotional exam, God left him and kept quiet. And he made very costly mistakes. You will not make such mistakes. Praise God. So in Matthew chapter 4, we see this picture. Jesus is about to start his ministry. He cannot do anything unless he goes through this test. There are some situations in your front, some visions, some provisions of God, some revelations that you are carrying in your bosom. Prophecies that you are carrying, that God even puts a time to it. But the truth of the matter is, before you step into it, there will be a promotional test. And so that young man, we went to a restaurant to eat. We're eating. My mind is blank. I'm looking. He said, "What's your answer? What's your answer?" And suddenly my mind came back. And I remembered something that happened to Rambonki. How a woman wanted to sponsor his crusade in Africa. And God said, "No, it's not my will," and all that, you know. I've shared that story a number of times. And I said, "Sorry, your offer is great, but I can't take it." And he said, "Sorry, bye-bye." And he left. I've not seen him since that day. The following week, God sent us a telephone. And between that time and now, God has visited myself and mommy. We have been enabled of God to give up to 11 vehicles away to ministers of the gospel. And everything could have gone on just one single gift. There are ministers in our country today that have received a gift that they should never have touched. And their anointing have been tainted and polluted. There are many people today. I remember watching this Big Brother Africa. Myself and mommy were watching it some years ago. And the young man that won it, his parents were ministers in Equa Church. The $100,000 was very expensive, but the father said it was a shame on the family. That was something costly, but not precious. And we live in a country today that promotes men that go for what is costly at the expense of what is precious. And if we're going to serve in leadership and fulfill God's purpose, we have to distinguish that. The devil wants to prove whether there's a difference between you that you're born again and the person that is not born again. Really, the devil wants to say, whatever God wants to give you, I'll give you. God spoke to me years ago, and that is one of the foundations on which my philosophy, ministry, and life is built. I heard the voice of God. I tell you, I'm not a prophet, but I'm a brother. Occasionally, I hear. You know, it's prophet that hear every day that play games with prophecy. We that we hear occasionally. And Lord said, my son, everything that I plan to give you under the sun, the devil can give you. It was a shocker. And I began to see Christians collecting things from the devil. The only thing that devil can give you are things behind the sun. But everything under the sun, including marriage, there are people that have married not the will of God, their own choice. Including job, including different things. And it's a major issue of test on the earth. Amen? Praise God. And whenever God wants to take you higher, he will shake you a little bit further so that you will be lighter and be able to fly higher. Write it down. Don't forget that. Praise God. So let's read a little bit in Matthew chapter 4, and then I'll give you the points that I want to share with you today. Amen? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We don't like that temptation. We don't like the testing, but there is going to come a time in your life and a place in your life that the Holy Spirit himself is going to lead you into a test. Arrange it not to fail you, but to promote you. Praise God. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By the way, remember, this is the same test that our first parent, Adam and Eve, faced. It was in a garden, this was in a desert. And they failed. And the human race is where we are today. Are you following what I'm saying? Every one of you that you believe God, there's a throne in front of you, there's a glory in front of you, there is also a test in front of you. Jehovah El Shaddai is the tester. Amen? It wasn't Jesus that mistakenly walked into a test there. It was the Spirit that led him. Before he started his ministry, will he carry the anointing that has been reserved for his destiny? Will he have something that is worthy of hearing to say to men? Are you following what I'm saying? Whatever God is going to send you to heal, he will allow you to feel first of all. And if you fail, when you are feeling it, you don't qualify to minister it to people. Today we have too many people that don't understand what the people they are sent to is going through. So God will, if the pain you can feel is the pain you can remove. Praise God. So it's going to be part of your test. Amen. Sometimes people go through some things, and when you're going through it, people have the tendency of labeling you by your circumstances. And you must understand that your definition from God must always come from your purpose, never from your circumstance. God is never committed to your circumstance, he's always committed to your purpose. God is not committed to your comfort, he's committed to his will for your life. If the will of God for your life required that he remove some comfort for a season so that he can take you higher, he will remove it. He doesn't care how much tears you are shedding. Paul said that God went, took him through some trouble. In fact, he said he was pressed beyond limits. He wished that he died. In fact, he said God placed a sentence of death on him. But he said in the midst of that, he discovered a consolation in God that became the substance of his ministry to minister to people that are going through such things. Praise God. So here is Jesus led into his own temptation. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now the question is, will you do what the devil is asking here? Amen? You know, sometimes it's easy for us to say somebody that had a problem or failed, we talk about him and things like that. But you don't qualify to talk about somebody until you walk in their shoes. Some distance. Amen? One of the favorite pastimes of Nigerians is to hack down and attack leaders and things like that. But you see, the truth of the matter is, you don't know how you're going to do if you get into the same place. Praise God. And everybody's going to get their turn. The only thing we can do is to be sure that the test that God brings our way, we pass it on time. Amen. And so he said, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Satanic temptation before angelic ministration. And that's a pattern. God sets pattern for us in the Bible. So sometimes you find your seasons are like this. If you look at the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you see 28 different seasons mentioned there. And you see the pattern that God has designed. There's a season of pain and a season of comfort, a season like that, a season of this and all. The season is not primarily the focus. It's the lesson that you are receiving from the seasons. The things that God is adding to your life while he's taking you upward and forward. Amen? God only leads his people in two directions, upward and forward. But he says, now you have gotten to another junction. You are going to take some test now. I've seen you. You took that test. You passed. So now, this is promotion. Praise God. And as we close this year, I pray that you pass some tests that God has given to you. You experience promotion the coming year. Amen? So let's look at what can be costly that is not precious. Amen. The Bible describes the devil as the tempter, the fowler, the snarer. I believe that the test of this one that the Lord Jesus Christ is going through is that of a snarer. The one that operates with camouflage, deception, and cover-up. Disguise that test so well. Make it look like the real thing. Make it look... Do you know that day I prayed 6 a.m., this man showed up at 8 a.m. in the office. That's enough to say that was an answer to prayer. Are you following what I'm saying? But you see, the thing was that, I don't know what he does for a living. He travels overseas like you go to the market. But the last time he came to see me, years before that time, he told me, he was telling me, I said he couldn't remember the car he drove the last time. I mean, he's coming, he carries a bag, a gala must go back full of money, put it under the dashboard. He said, is there any place that I can just rest and refresh? Alright? And that's dangerous. And when I said it in church the following Sunday, some people felt, oh, you missed it. I said, I don't think so. What if it's a stolen car? What if, whatever, what if, what if, what if, what if? And you know my face is easily recognizable with this mustache. Praise God. So, write this down. You must pass the test of rejecting the costly because it is not from the Lord and you will qualify for the real precious and costly things from God. How many of you want the costly things from God? Huh? How many of you? Okay. So let's write down this point. Number one, this will help you to recognize what you must not touch. Whether it is God or the devil. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, it's amazing when God told Moses. He said, Moses, these people, I'm angry at them. Let me wipe them out and I'll make a new nation out of you. If I was there, I might be tempted. How many of you will have been tempted? Let me be honest. These people are frustrating you. And God himself is angry with them. And God said, Moses, get out of my way. Let me wipe them out and I'll make a new nation out of you. What a wonderful offer from God. And that was a test. That's how dangerous this test is. Huh? Ah. God, I've been thinking about it. One day when we get to heaven, I'm going to ask Abraham, was he a test when Sarah said, why don't you go into my maid and raise a baby? Because the consequence of failing that test is still on the earth today. And what I want to ask him is, excuse me, sir, were you thinking about this matter before? before Sarah offered it. You know, there are some things you think about that you don't discuss. And then you assume that it's a word of the Lord when somebody raises it. Because it's amazing how Abraham didn't say, "Ah, Sarah, you are my wife." He said, "It's okay." There are tests in the Bible. Maybe the story of the human race would have been different if Abraham said no. Maybe some of the pain and the sorrows we are having may not have happened. The consequences of failing divine tests are generational. Some of the troubles that some of us face today are not demons per se, they are the failed tests of previous generation. Amen? So the first one are, number one, your own things that belong to God that the devil deceives you to take. That was what Ananias and Sapphira failed. Your own things. It was their own thing, but God said, "That's mine in your custody." You must come to a place that you recognize what is yours that belongs to God. The first boss that we had, somebody gave to us, an elderly man, about 70 years old from Kaduna State. His son overseas bought him a bus and said, "Daddy, I'm going to buy him." In his village, his family is the only Christian family in a Muslim village. When we sent people to go and check him and greet him after. And he was on a mountain praying, and God said, "Your own bus is coming. That bus that your son is buying," he didn't even know my name, how to pronounce it. "He gave it to my servant, Areogun. So he went to the radio program to get the phone and the address, and then drove down. And he didn't know where I was at Shubu that day. He went to Elisha. That time, the pastor there, Dr. Way, was there. And he brought him to Shubu. And when the man only wanted to find out, I am the one called Areogun. He had found out this is not the one. Where is this man called Areogun? So he came and he said, "Are you the one?" I said, "I am." And he knelt down and began to worship God. With tears on my eyes, I knelt down and joined him. And he gave the key. "This is what God said I should do." I said, "Sir, let us give you books and everything." He said, "No, I will pay for it." He didn't even collect anything free and left. He passed the test of what is his own that belongs to God. This is the reason why many Christians never break through in their life in the things of God. What is yours that belongs to God? That was what Paul and Peter spoke to Ananias and Sapphira. When you didn't sell it, it was yours. After you sold it, it was yours. But now, why would God judge them for keeping it back? When God called me out of my family and said, "I called you to the ministry on full time," it was a tug of war, because our family, it is one person helping the other person up. And I remember what I was given as when I finished school, I should pay my mother's NEPA bill, which was 59 at that time. And sometimes I couldn't get it when I went to Lesha. It was mommy that would take from her pocket money and go to give my mother and say, "Your son said he should give you this." Are you following what I'm saying? And I told my siblings, I said, "Why don't you see me as a gift from this family to God? I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I told God, I said, look, God, this is the condition in our family. I want you to do something for our family that they will never need my contribution." And God responded to that and visited my siblings, blessed them, lifted them, and they didn't need it. And after some time, God began to justify the call of my life. And then they had a family meeting and said, "Now you are okay and all that, and what will you do?" I said, I'll make a statement and then I'll do whatever you say. Anything you give me to do, you will always need it from now. I have one of my sisters very vocal. I said, "Why is your own matter life and death? Everything." I said, "Because there is a covenant and a vow." Are you following what I'm saying? What if Hannah withheld Samuel? Don't you know that boy will have been a sickler in her hand? The truth of our relationship with God is that there are some things that it is our own. We work for it, but God said, "That's mine. Just hold it in your hand until I need it." and you must pass that test. Let's go to the second one. Your tithe is part of that. No matter how many people don't like that, but that is the truth. Nobody, I wasn't the one who wrote the Bible. Out of everything that you earn, you see, one tenth of it is mine. And that's the beginning of quarrel with people. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. How many parents today that God has called their children to ministry said, no, my son, never. Never. Release him to go. Said, no. God said, Jonah, you are mine. Jonah went and people carried him in their boat and the boat began to have trouble. Praise God. Number two. Anything that is offered to God that God is not taking, that you accept. Gehazi failed this test. A man offered God gold and God said, no, that's not my purpose. But Elisha recognized that. You see, it is the test you pass that determines the glory that you carry. Okay? So this man didn't understand that. That it is possible for somebody to offer God something, God is not angry with him, God just said no. Amen? In the program of God for that time, God was not going to accept anything from Naaman, because the Syrians were the overlords of the tribe of Israel at that time, and God was arranging for relief for his people. So when this man had his sickness, which is a public shame, God arranged for a little girl to be in his house, who kept telling, if he can get to the prophet at Samaria, something is going to happen. And God amplified the voice of an unknown person and brought it to the ears of the man, and he brought the king's ears. And of course, the man came to Elisha. And you know something, listen to this. There are lots of leaders in Nigeria that would have been saved. They have come to church, but pastors failed this test. When big people get born again, the first thing to receive from them is not anything. This is the reason why there is no discipleship in our country. Because most big men, most successful people understand the implication of obligation. So if you do something for me, I want to do something in return. And God isn't doing that. God was arranging that this man is going to be obliged to him. Are you following what I'm saying? God doesn't want to be obliged to a human being, but to him. And so Elisha understood and said, no. That young man said, look at this, my master. He has spared this Syrian. You see that spirit in some pastors? He wants to grab. And it wasn't Elisha didn't ask for it. The man offered it. But God is not taking it. And if Elisha had taken it, his anointing would have gone. And why will you pay for that? There are people that have lost the anointing, that all they have now is just words. The convicting, transforming power of God behind a man's words is no more in their lives. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I faced that test a number of times. A young man traveled and fell into all kinds of horrible problems and sin. And then came back with gifts for different people. And he said, Daddy, I brought your own. I said, sit down there. If I take this thing from you, God will ask me for your soul. Put it back in your bag. Now let's deal with your soul. Are you following what I'm saying? And when I finished talking with him, I laid hands on his shoulders. He said, Daddy, you didn't lay hands on my head. I said, yes, because until you straighten out your heart, God doesn't want to lay my hands on your head. Praise God. Now those of you that pray for and lay hands on your shoulders, that's not why. So don't confuse that. Don't confuse the two. So because people always like to put two and two together in the message of fast and say, hey. No, I'm not. That was just that person. Amen. So I could have failed that test. Are you following what I'm saying? Have you ever noticed that sometimes when a person's ways is not right with God, he tries to compensate by offering God something? And God expects you not to accept that, so that he can straighten out his ways. God wants your soul, not what you have, first of all. Amen? And Gehazi went after the man and concocted a project to get that money. In fact, some people have just visited my master and he said, only one talent? Let him take two. And collected. The same place that Elisha stood with Elijah, that he received double portion of the anointing, he stood and received double portion of leprosy. So that's the second test. Knowing when what is costly is not precious. There are young girls today. A man offers you a lift and goes beyond a lift. Let me take your dignity. What will it cost you? Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. What is offered that God is not taking? Number three. The next one looks like this, but it's different. What is freely offered but from a wrong source? What is freely offered you but from a wrong source? Abraham said to the king of Sodom, that man said, Abraham, take all the gold and silver, give me the men. And I want you to hear this, every child of God here. When God saved you, your success was included in your salvation. The question for a child of God is not if, it is when. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Abraham made a statement that every one of us must say, I have lifted my hand to the God of heaven, that I will not take anything from you, not even a shoe latchet, lest you say, I have made Abraham rich. What Abraham is saying is, my becoming rich is a settled matter. When Christians take what is offered them from a wrong source, it is almost always what God is planning to give you that devil wants to take credit for. If you only understand who you are under God, that your future is a guaranteed certainty, it's not a maybe. If you just keep following God step by step, of course this test is going to come. Something from a wrong source. There are ministers today that have accepted power from a wrong source. Wanted something to happen in his ministry. Some people pray, God, use me. And God has heard that prayer. He said, let's test him. Will he pass the test to be trusted with our words? Will you speak when God is not speaking? Don't you know? The people that come up, just because people want you to perform, and you come under the spirit of performance, and you say when God is not saying, you move where Holy Ghost is not moving. That's a test that some people are failing. Will you stop when God is stopping? Praise God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. There are married women that have slept on the bed of somebody else apart from their husband and playing deception with their husband, knowing that that man came, it was an offer from the devil. But the fact that nobody is going to know does not make it any lesser a crime. Praise God. Amen. Very interesting. Number four. What will sell the Lord again in your life? What will sell the Lord? This was the test that Judas failed. Amen. And why do people get into this problem? Listen to this. This particular test will come your way. This way, when you begin to see the blessing of anyone serving God, you face that test. You see, Judas didn't speak in many places in the Bible. In fact, the only major place that Judas spoke was when somebody did something flamboyant for Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? Judas was the most educated among disciples. Was one of the people that didn't come from the same cluster of Galilean villages that the others came from. But it was just something different about him. Are you following what I'm saying? There's a book that I just completed writing a bit. It's been on my desk for years and all that, but God said bring it out before the end of this year. And that is The Spirit of Judas. What will you do to the anointed? Praise God. What is going to be your contribution to the journey to the top of somebody? This was the test that the brothers of Joseph failed. They couldn't stick that one of them is going to make it. You face that test sometimes. Have you been in a situation that somebody that you feel is your rival, somebody is saying something nice about him, and you are tempted to just bring down his glory a little bit? You can't establish your reputation on the destruction of another person's own. Yet we're doing that. Just inject something tiny to just spoil it. Can you stick somebody being flamboyantly praised around you? If you can, you are going to fail this test. Judas just couldn't stick it that look at what you are doing. Can't you sell that for the poor? Now Jesus said, listen to me, you always have every opportunity to bless the poor. You won't ever have every opportunity to bless me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Can you get to a place that you are going to sell your salvation again? For what? At what cost will you marry? Will you marry at the expense of salvation? Will you get that job at the expense of your redemption? Because the devil is going to offer you that. Now, I'm not looking for anything. I want your salvation on this one. Will you do that? You know, one man of God shared a testimony, Kenneth Copeland. He said there was a case that involved his father. He was a young man and left a lasting impression on him. And parents must understand that what we do mark our children for their own lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? The person that started communism, Karl Marx or whatever, he was the son of a Jewish man that wanted more money than to follow the line of holiness that God wanted his people to go. And he just broke the consecration of the young man and started propounding that religion is the opium of the people. Okay? The truth of the matter is this. Whatever we do now is going to affect our children beyond any other thing. That's why sometimes you have seen children of pastors have confusion of identity, confusion of behaviors. Because they can't line up this with this. So he said the father was brought to court. There was a place he's working, and some other people offered to pay him some money so that he can go and start their own. Want to pull out. And if they did, the shares they offered him would make him a multi-millionaire in just about 2-3 years. Really, and keep spreading to the future. But what they did by offering him that while he was in the employment was legal. And when the case came to court, they just asked him, did they discuss with you? All he needed to say to have millions is to say no. And he would be a millionaire. And he was looking at his dad, what is he going to say? And he said, the father got up, they asked him, did they discuss with you? He said, yes. And the judge said, thank you. Of course, sentenced those people, and he put his card. Then when they got, I said, the young man said, daddy, there must have been a lot of pressure on your shoulders. He said, there was none. A lie is a lie. There was no decision to have been made. There wasn't any special decision. Let's go. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You must make some decisions before you confront some situations. You must know what you are going to do before you meet certain things. It is not when a boss is offering you extramarital affairs that you are going to be calling pastor. There must be some decision. You see, it is your decisions that determines your destination. The devil is not afraid of your desire, he's afraid of your decisions. A decided Christian is a dangerous weapon in the hand of the Holy Ghost. He's a terror to the devil. These vacillating Christians, don't scare him. You must have decided, listen, there's no going back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no looking back, no turning back. My decision to follow Jesus has nothing to do with another person's decision. I remember years ago, I used to deceive myself. As a pastor, young pastor, idealistic pastor, I tell my people, I say, I believe God, I'm going to everybody, I'm pastor in time of rapture, I'll carry them to heaven. And one of those who said to me, he said, it's not possible. You can only be sure of yourself. Make sure your wife makes it. It's everybody's decision. So I told mommy, I said, make sure you go. I make sure I go. So I tell people, brother, I want to see Life Oasis Boulevard in heaven. So, make sure you are there. There are some things nobody can carry for you. And let me tell you this, the promotional tests are individualistic. They are not corporate. Judas was alone when the devil visited him. Number five. Something legitimate that God says it is not yet time for you, even though others are enjoying it now. Something legitimate that it's for everybody, but God says it's not time for you, even though others are enjoying it. The test is in the fact that others are enjoying it. Have you heard Christians pray some prayer? Sometimes we pray prayer that tells God, that presents God as if God bless you because of somebody. God, all my mates are riding cars now. I must ride my own next year. Who told you that God will give you a car because your mates are riding? God may still want you to walk on foot for the next 3 years to prepare you to have a jet. Are you following what I'm saying? Years ago, there was a meeting that I attended at 1985. At UI, it was a man of God I was preaching. And he said, the Lord showed him something concerning his future. And God gave him a vision. He saw many ministers, some his colleagues, some his juniors, they are just in that vision, you know. They were taken to a farm and the fruits are very ripe. Big, huge, every, you know. And there were different implements. And he saw some people took a cutlass, hoe, different things, and they started walking and walking. And there was a big, giant combined harvester that was standing somewhere. And he found himself studying it and studying and looking at other people. They are running ahead, running ahead, running ahead, running ahead. And he's wondering, he's looking at this, looking, 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 looking. And they are still moving on. And suddenly he understood that combined vista and got on it. And the thing roared into life. And in one go like that, zoom, everybody was behind. He had been praying, God, use me now. Look at all the people that we started together. Look at this, look at that. This generation is facing a test of comparison. One young pastor came to me and said, excuse me, one of the things I like about you is this contentment. I said, when we started ministry, this yardstick of measuring success was not a problem to us. Nobody measured your success by how many things you have, by how many people come to your church. You just obeyed God. We didn't enter ministry even to succeed. We entered ministry to obey the call. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. And it's a major issue today. Praise God. That's number five, is it? Something legitimate. You can see it in the Bible in different places. Number six. Something that belonged to another person that comes to you. Will you keep it? Something that belongs to another that comes to you. Number seven. When it is your time to suffer, and the devil offers you untimely comfort, you are facing this test. And you must be careful at that time. Number eight. When it comes to your mind to acquire by your own method and effort what God intends to give you without stress. This was part of the mistake of Abraham. Especially those of us that we have prophecies from God, that we carry visions in our heart, it is always a temptation when a vision is in a waiting stage for you to face the pressure to actualize God's vision for you by your own mind, you can actually cancel the entire process. Are you listening to me? You remember Moses faced this test. He had known that God had chosen him to lead the children of Israel out, but he's not going to do it by force. He was a military commander at that time, and God was not looking for a military leader. He was looking for a shepherd king, a shepherd prophet to lead his people. God knows that these people have fought 30 years of brutalization. They need somebody that is going to heal them, carry them, somebody that is going to feel the pain of the one that is heavy with animal, with all kind of things, you know, wounds inside and outside. But Moses at that time was a commander, mighty indeed and mighty in word, wanted to execute that destiny like that. And you know the rest of the story. 40 years was added to it. Failing this kind of test elongates our journey. Sometimes taking a shortcut is this test, and most times shortcuts end up being longer than the original road. You are getting too quiet for my liking. Don't worry, next Sunday, okay, I can change the message. Will I preach something nicer? Amen. Listen, when promotion comes, after you pass the test of God, it's a promotion nobody can argue with. It's a promotion nobody can contend. Are you following what I'm saying? Moses thought they will accept. Now he killed an Egyptian, mighty indeed, and then he spoke to two Jews that fight. He said, don't you know it's your brother? Is that mighty in word? And say, who made you a ruler of us? You want to kill me like killed that one yesterday? Eh? And Moses ran. Praise God. It's interesting. 40 years of his life became somebody in the world. You know, it's not every condition we find ourselves that is usable for the destiny God has designed us. Are you following what I'm saying? God is interested in working us, fitting us for his program for our lives. What he has chosen us for, fit us. Some of the things that you have gone through is not because there's anything wrong with you, it's because there's something right with you. Instead of asking, what is wrong with me? Why don't you ask, what is right with me? Do you get what I'm saying? Why have I gone through what I've gone through? Why did my father die when I was young and I didn't have a father? And everybody you work with, they have fathers. Why is it that I didn't have what others had? You see, God has a way of compensating and balancing that, but he's more first interested in working the right kind of heart inside you, the right kind of nature, and he needed Moses to get into the right kind of shape. So 40 years, he became a military commander, commanding, just taking things by force. And he wanted to lead them. I said, no, you can't. If Moses had not been dealt with, he would have been like Elijah. You just imagine if it was Elijah that led them from Egypt. Sometimes when I'm reading the story of Moses and Datan and Quorum, I always wish, it's not your fault. If God should have allowed Elijah 3 minutes with this Datan and Quorum and Datan nonsense, he would have said, if I'm a man of God, what did you say? Let fire wipe you. In fact, he will not take more than one third across the Red Sea. Elijah, every man for his day. God is preparing for your own day. And that's why comparing is a stupid thing. The Bible says they comparing themselves with themselves are not wise. You know, many times when you listen to people say, this is the fastest growing church, this is the largest church, God never used language of comparing. It's a sign of immaturity. Because your whatever you are is a design fitted to your destiny. Can you get what I'm saying? So here Moses, God said, now let's go to the next phase. God took him from the palace to the desert. Your education in the palace is finished. Here is the daughter of a very wonderful, sophisticated family. And God said, the person you are going to marry is from a local background. So let's change your training a little bit. This Assaw kind of thing. My hand can't touch the water. I can't do these things like that. So you need another change. Praise God. Where you're going? Amen. You know, when I saw mommy, she comes from kind of background, and God knew that our house is going to be like an hotel. So God began to train her. The experiences she went through, she had to cook for families, go to the market, go to do this and things. And sometimes people come at 2:30 a.m. and then she will prepare a meal for them, do this and things like that. God knows exactly where he's going to use you. You may not know where you're going to end up. So yield yourself, allow him to work on you. The greatest tragedy of life is to see people get to their place and they are unfit for the place. There's nothing as terrible as to see a man occupying a place of honor and is a dishonorable person. Because he has rejected the processing of God that is to make him fitted for that place. Now here is Moses. He found himself in the desert, following Anima, a commander of the Egyptian army that is used to marching. Hey, wah, 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 with spear and everything. Now he has a spear. And this animal is a man. And you know Moses also had a stammering problem. You always wonder why don't you choose normal people? Have you ever thought like that before? Huh? As if you chose normal people, you won't qualify. I won't qualify. If you were a sister that Moses came to propose to, you know you've got to face a test yourself. If all your friends were asking that, that God was pulling Moses down. He's a commander and then God is cooling down. Language of animal from language of human beings. Where he gives command. Hey, move! And the animal says, meh. Meh, come and help me. And now he learned how to carry animal. He watched animals deliver babies in the desert. Nursed them. I say, aye, mere. Kim was flying like, well, what degree me look at it? Which your long rope woman. I buy you a long guy. Yeah. Have you married a pastor that turned the minister? When your husband is asleep, you go and grab my glory. Yeah, my mother. God is seeing everything. Just wait. Is your test. When the glory comes, nobody should also pity you when you're enjoying the glory, since they didn't pity you when you are going through the fire. Amen? You know, some of you start a business and nobody saw you when you were working on food, when you are carrying this, you are carrying that, and when the thing break through and everything succeeded. Yeah. And 40 years, Moses was broken. Moses that said, don't you know, when 40 years, God says, now I say, I can't talk. When you can't talk, that's when you are ready. All these people that are writing application, I say, I'm available for invitation, I'm available, I'm sending printing cards. You are not ready yet. When God is ready for you, when God has finished with you, you'll be afraid. There's a tenderness inside. The sign of knowing God is not smartness, it's brokenness. That touch, that feeling that can bear. And when Moses came back, now, the next 40 years, there was no prophet like him under the sun, except Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Huh? Yet he could have failed the test of executing divine vision by human method. God put a dream in your heart. God put a plan in your heart. Let God put the steps in your heart also. It's one of the bus stops that the devil hides to bomb the future of God's children. Praise God. Number 9. Something that cost you money to acquire, but is an abomination in the eyes of God. You say, what? Yes. Amen. Because I want you to get this point, and then we're going to pray. Amen. Something that cost you money, but is an abomination. In the Old Testament, God said, don't bring the accosting into your house. Is there anything in your possession that is expensive, but it's an abomination in the sight of God? You know, went to pray for a couple, very wealthy couple in Lagos, and they're having some challenges. And you know, the husband said, I perceive that this attacks is centered in our bedroom. So I said, well, okay. So he said, well, you want to come and pray in our bedroom? I said, okay. So we got there. There was a golden belt hanging on the door of the wardrobe. My spirit went to that golden belt. I said, what's that? I said, it's one designer belt by Versace. The figure on it was an occultic figure. So let it go. Very expensive, pure gold. Sometimes we have things that we spend money on, but it's an abomination to God. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, so when some people got born again, they brought books that they bought with money, practicing curious magical acts, and was very expensive. They brought it out and they burnt it. Sometimes it may be some item of fashion. This thing, but it's an abomination in the sight of God. What do you want, really? Do you want the precious or just to stay with the costly? Stand to your feet this morning. I'll preach the second part of this message next Sunday. The key word that God is sending to us is, there is something more. God has something more for you. Do you want that something more that God has for you? Amen? Do you want that something more? And that's what Jesus said. If your right eye is going to cause you to miss the kingdom, pluck it out. There's a measure of ruthlessness that must apply. Are you following what I'm saying? No, there are some things that we keep. And that thing is linking us back to a path that God is disconnecting us from. And God said, let it go. That's what is keeping the power coming from your future. You know, one principle of God is to know that God doesn't lead his people backwards. He always leads you into your future. Many people, there are some young men that have married wrong. They entered into a relationship with God. They stepped on the water of their destiny. And they kept pressing on to their future. And then they came to the junction of choosing a life partner. And they go back to their past. To pick somebody that brings issues from their past into their life. Somewhere along the line, the devil is going to try to bring somebody in your life that's going to bring issues from your past that you prefer to remain in the past. Are you following what I'm saying? Because God is always working in our life from the future into the present. The devil works from the past into the present. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. So this test is something that is expensive, is costly, but God says, it's an abomination in my sight. It can be something as simple as television programs. You know? But it costs you money. But that thing keeps bringing abominations into your sitting room. Amen. And before you think I'm preaching legalism now, TV is a tool that we're using to preach the gospel, but it's a tool that the devil can use to bring demons into your house. And everyone has some controls. Amen? That remote control is a weapon in your hand. When you hold it like this, the devil says, just release me. Release me. And you flip the channel like that. You know, when a man is born again seriously, he allows the wife to use the remote control. How many of you men are that born again? Did you get what I said? Huh? Did you get what I said? A really born again man. I say, my dear, you choose the channel. All right, don't worry, but I'm not going to. See, I'm flipping the channel, and this channel just a little spy, and then you go and come back. He always asked what David did that he fell into a trap with Bathsheba. There are many things that were wrong. He was supposed to be somewhere else. He stayed back home. And then he was walking on the roof and saw a woman taking a bath. And the Holy Spirit told him that that's the devil. Just go inside. David went inside and came back again. I want to be sure if it's a human being. And that's where the problem started from. The first look is mistake, the second look is sin. Amen. Did you get something for what I share with you today? Passing the test of God when what is costly is not precious. If you can get this key into your heart, wherever you are going, because the devil will offer you what God is planning to give you. He told Jesus, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Bow. He said, I know I came to collect it, but not this way. There is a name that God has put on your future. Will you sacrifice it today? Or will you do everything and get that name? Can you lift your hands to Jesus? I hope I didn't bore you this afternoon. Just ask the Lord, help me to pass the test of God. I pray that this word will be a seed that is put inside your spirit. That when these nine things that bring the distinction between what is costly but not precious is a test either from God or the devil. If God asks you like he asked Moses, listen, let me wipe them out and I'll make something of you. Will you bite the bait? Or when you are carrying a vision and the vision is nearing fulfillment, will you use your own method like Abraham did and Moses did? Or maybe you have even done so. That is why there is an elongation of the process. And you are wondering, but I saw it. God spoke. Yes, God spoke, but you used another method. You fell for that trap. Can you lift your hands to God and say, Lord, I'll pass the test of God. I'll pass the test of God. Let me tell you something. God brought this testimony to my heart and then we're closing with it. I shared that testimony before, but I want to share it because there are many people with great, great futures. Some years ago, when the Lord spoke to me and said, the church I called the pastor is a Joseph church, and this will be the test for them. One of it is the test of pride. There are some tests that will never happen to you until you begin to succeed. Success transmitted diseases. Alright? And, you know, that's STD. This one is not sexual. It's success transmitted diseases. One of it is unteachability, pride, and things like that. Okay? But this young man fell into a trap. I shared testimony with you. One young man is a member of the church. God spoke to him, you're going to play a part in the future of this country, in the governance of this country, and you study along the lines of economy, economics, philosophy, and things like that. And God gave him a scholarship to go to London School of Economics, all expense paid. Went there. And then he had gone and come back and all that. And then he faced tests there. Are you following what I'm saying? Share testimony with me. He did a test. They are doing all these multinational companies. They bring some forms and all that. He filled a particular form to do a test. They didn't choose him. And then another offer came. And they asked in that question, has he done it before? Or what? And he called me. I said, tell them you have. The worst that happened is that they'll say no. And when he told the woman, the woman said, it's honest people like you that want. And start his own. Now the point is this, he could have lied and they will catch him later. But now he came back and told me and said, Daddy, I didn't tell you the full story. In our school, it was four of us that won the scholarship. In another school, only a young man won. But when they went to the embassy, that young man was rejected. Because the year before, he had forged a document to apply for visa. And they have it on record. They did everything. Can you imagine one of the most prestigious schools in the world? And they never accepted him. When that bait was offered, he took it. Carry the vision, you go far. But forge visa, you don't have to. If God wants you to go overseas, he will take you. Can you lift your hands to Jesus today? And tell God, I will not sacrifice this glorious future. Help me. There's a future for me in God. Is there no mistake I'm thinking towards the thoughts of good and all of evil to give you a future and a hope? A future without an end. A future without a stain. A future without restraint, without constraint, without limitations. Do you want that or a narrow present? Can you tell God and say, Father, I will not fail. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. I pray for you today that this message will not just be a sermon, it will be a spirit from heaven placed upon your spirit. It will be an anointing from the Father's heart that is sowed into your spirit, that you carry and give back to sensitivity, the same kind of sensitivity that Jesus had when the devil offered him the thrones of the world to bow. And he said, no, I know what is waiting for me. I'm not going to fall. When Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hands to the God of heaven, that I will not take anything from you. Let's say I will make you rich. You become successful. You will be all that God called you to be. But don't take it from the devil. The devil only comes when he sees something special in your life. Can you take the next 5 minutes to pray? And pray like I like you to pray. Pray, 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 pray. Pray it into your spirit. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. You are going far. You are going far. You are going far. You are going high. Tell God, I'll wait for you. I'll receive it. I'll follow your process. I'll pass the test of heaven. When the promotional test of God begin to confront you, you will not fail. You will not fail. You will not fail. You will not fail. When the promotional test of God will confront you, you will not fail. You will not fail. Naaman failed the test of God. God said, go and dip in River Jordan. Are you looking to dip where it is palatable to you? You know, there are people that God said, go to church there. He said, that church is not up to my status. That is the test you are failing. That person is not up to the person to pastor me. That's the test. Naaman prefers, say, if it's river I need, is river Pava not better? No! It's not river you need, it's a brokenness. Can you talk to God this afternoon? Help me, Father. I receive grace. I receive grace. The grace that this word is bringing, let it soak into your spirit. Let it soak into your spirit. Let it become wisdom. Let it become grace. Let it become power in your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. All eyes closed. I sense the Holy Spirit wanting to lead this prayer. If there's anywhere among these things I've mentioned that you have violated, I say, Lord, can you give me a way out? Can you help me? I want to raise up your hand. God bless you. Just raise it above your head. Raise your hand above your head. You know it. That may be what is affecting your life. Moses had 40 years added to his journey. If Abraham had passed that test, we may not have the problem we are facing today in the world. Arab and Israelis, Muslim and Christians, where Sarah is in heaven, maybe she regrets, I wish I didn't say that. Look at David, two films are made in his life. Where he is in heaven, when he watches David and Goliath, he smiles. When they bring David and Bathsheba up, he wishes it never happened. You have a great future in God. God told me years ago, I'm bigger than your mistake. I can turn your mistake to my glory and to your good. Rahab made a mistake, but God came.
We believe you've been greatly blessed by that explosive teaching of God's word. Your minister has been Reverend Olushola Ayodele Aregu, the General Overseer of the Dream Center of the Life Voices International Churches. He's committed to helping men realize their God-given dreams in life. For further inquiries, call this telephone line 0037251680. 0037251680 or 0807608512. 0807608512. All right, to this postal address, P.O. Box 1838, Oshogbo, Osun State, Nigeria, West Africa. Or send an email to lifevoices@hotmail.com or visit our website at www.lifevoicesinternationalchurch.org. Remember always that God makes difficult things easy. Jesus is Lord.